ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कंठो 3 चैप्टर 27 टेक्स्ट 26 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। एवं विदित तत्वस्य प्रकृतिर्मयिमानसम् युञ्जतो नापकुरुत आत्मरामस्य कर्हिचित्। एवं विदित तत्त्वस्य प्रकृतिर्मयिमानसम् युञ्जतो नापकुरुत आत्मरामस्य कर्हिचित्। The influence of material nature cannot harm an enlightened soul, even though he engages in material activities, because he knows the truth of the Absolute and his mind is fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Lord Kapila says that Mayimanasam, a devotee whose mind is always fixed upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Atmarama or Vidittatattva. Atmarama means one who rejoices in the self, or one who enjoys in the spiritual atmosphere. Atma, in the material sense, means the body or the mind, but when referring to one whose mind is fixed on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Atmarama means one who is fixed in spiritual activities in relationship with the Supreme Soul. The Supreme Soul is the Personality of Godhead, and the individual soul is the living entity. When they engage in reciprocation of service and benediction, the living entity is said to be in the Atmarama position. The Atmarama position can be attained by one who knows the truth as it is. The truth is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the enjoyer, and that the living entities are meant for his service and enjoyment. One who knows this truth and who tries to engage all resources in the service of the Lord escapes all material reactions and influences of the modes of material nature. An example may be cited in this connection. Just as a materialist engages in constructing a big skyscraper, a devotee engages in constructing a big temple for Vishnu. Superficially, the skyscraper constructor and temple constructor are on the same level, for both are collecting wood, stone, iron, and other building materials. But the person who constructs a skyscraper is a materialist, and the person who constructs a temple of Vishnu is Atmarama. The materialist tries to satisfy himself in relation to his body by constructing a skyscraper, but the devotee tries to satisfy the super self, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by constructing the temple. Although both are engaged in the association of material activities, the devotee is liberated and the materialist is conditioned. This is because the devotee who is constructing the temple has fixed his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the non-devotee who is constructing the skyscraper has his mind fixed in sense gratification. If, while performing any activity, even in material existence, One's mind is fixed upon the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, one will not be entangled or conditioned. The worker in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is always independent of the influence of material nature. Yahayasya hare dasya karmana manasa gira nikilasya pyavasthasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. This is a commonly quoted verse, commonly quoted by Srila Prabhupada and other Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, which says that iha, in this world, that person who is engaged in the service of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his body, mind, and words, although engaged in all kinds of activities, is called Jivan Mukta, means he's liberated even in this life. Means he doesn't have to wait to go to the spiritual world. He's already liberated. In this verse, the same idea is given from a slightly different perspective. The one who knows the truth, who is viditta tattva, who is aware of reality, such a person, even though engaging in material activities, is liberated. So what is the truth? What is that fact? The fact, well, as Srila Prabhupada writes here, the truth is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the enjoyer, and that the living entities are meant for his service and enjoyment. There you go, there's the truth. You can spend millions of lifetimes searching for the truth. Here it is, just a few words. The truth is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the enjoyer, and that the living entities are meant for his service and enjoyment. Of course, then we may come to the question, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That is very clear from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one who engages in activities with this mentality, he may appear in many ways to be an ordinary person, but he's not. Everyone has to do some activity. Nahi kaschik kshanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. It's not possible to live without doing something. Even if you think I'll sit in a cave and do nothing, you still have to breathe. That's an activity. It's a activity means karma, some activity. So breathing is an activity. You can't stop acting. And even if you can hold your breath for quite a long time, this rechaka, this pranayama, yoga, holding the breath, still the mind goes on. Very difficult to stop the mind. That yoga idea is to control the senses, yoga indriya samyamya, and then eventually chitta vritti nirodha, to stop all the activities of the mind. Very difficult to do. So a devotee engages his karmana, manasa, gira, activities, mind and words in the service of Krishna, is liberated in that way and may appear to be like an ordinary materialistic person. There are so many examples that could be given in this regard. It could be said that a materialist prepares food for his own enjoyment, punjate te tvagang papa, ye pachanti atma karanat. He becomes sinful by preparing food for his own enjoyment, whereas the devotee offers everything to Krishna. So both are cooking Both of them are cooking. Still in India, food is associated with cooking. Mostly people eat food which is cooked in the home still. But in the Western countries, hardly. It's all outside, right? People in Thailand also, in Bangkok anyway, no one cooks at home. They all go into restaurants. So it could, that example could be given. It could be given the example that a materialist brushes his teeth because he wants to get the Colgate smile, or she wants to get the Colgate smile, so you can be seen with nice white teeth. And the devotee also brushes his teeth so that his health and is kept, and so that there's not bad smell emanating from his mouth as he goes to worship the deities. But Srila Prabhupada has given the example, more dramatic example, that a materialist engages in constructing a big skyscraper. Most people brush their teeth. Most people don't build big skyscrapers. Big activities are for big people. So just as a materialist engages in constructing a big skyscraper, a devotee engages in constructing a big temple for Vishnu. Big temple. At least in India, even today, at least here in South India, houses are built, or apartments are built, with a little room made for the temple. The idea, at least in Hindu areas, the idea that everyone wants to have a temple in their home. So it's made, the house is made like that. So pretty much everyone has a temple in their home. But to have a big temple, not everyone does that. Even at the end of, if there's a street, cul-de-sac, that's called. That means a street in which there's no way through. It just, the road is just to access the houses, and then it comes to an end. There's a wall at the end or something like that. Then at the end they'll put a temple, generally speaking, a small temple. But a big temple is a big endeavor. And actually when I first came to India, no one was building temples except the Biala family or group of families or family, extended family. They're the only ones. And their temple building would go on for years. I think in Baliganj in Calcutta, they were constructing. 10 years later, they can finish it as quickly as they like. So people said it's for some tax concession, some idea, something like that. Anyway, who knows? No one, the spirit had gone. No one wanted to construct temples. That idea had been given by the Honorable, at least that's what they call his title, the Honorable Prime Minister, Jawaharlal Nehru, that the temples of modern India will be the factories and the dams. This religion has spoiled India. Actually, this people are into Hinduism. They like to glorify Vivekananda, but these ideas they have his root in him. His idea. Don't read Bhagavad Gita, play football better. Because then you'll get a strong. India needs to be strong. The idea that we become weak by all this religion. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also criticized that this Gajapati kings, they were so strong they could keep out the Muslims, but then he made this Prataparudra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this Prataparudra into a Vaishnava, then he became weak, and then they were overcome. Some idea is like that. Of course, we don't subscribe to that. And he wasn't overcome anyway. Only later that happened. History is so very complex. That's one accusation. So the idea that don't build temples, that had become quite strong. At least that was going on in a small way in South India, that at least the little temple in the house. Otherwise no one was building big temples. So Srila Prabhupada actually revived that by building big temples. And then others picked up. So I chose to speak on this verse because this purport discusses this point. And as you are all well aware, much more than I am, you're building a big temple here. It's a big endeavor. Big activities are for big people. It's a big endeavor. What do you think? Vrindavanath Prabhu, this temple, it's not like brushing your teeth in the morning, is it? It's a lot of work over a long time, a lot of energy, mental energy, a lot of endeavor to be sustained. You'll see these temples, the classic temples here in South India, they were built over generations, not just in a few years, but it would take many years to build and finish. But once they're up, they stay. These stone temples will stay for literally hundreds of years. All the famous temples here in South India, they're not new, they're all old temples, hundreds and hundreds of years old. So this temple is being built and devotees are involved in that. They're very much looking forward to the time when we can worship Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda in this temple and serve all the visitors, pilgrims, and devotees. But this will go on for hundreds of years. That's the plan. So all the endeavor that's going into making this temple, of course a devotee doesn't calculate like a materialist, but you'll get benefit in future also. Just like for pious activities, people, they plant trees on the road for shade, knowing that even after I die, I leave this body, but people will continue to benefit from that. Or they build a well. Do you build a well? Do you sink a well? Well, there are step wells also. Instead of going, you see them in Gujarat quite a lot. Instead of drawing the water up, you walk down. They build it like that. Do you have that here in South India also? I never saw or heard. Some places they have that. So that's another approach. You walk down to the well. So the idea, and some of those wells are hundreds of years old. So whoever built the well, they built it with the idea that I'll be getting punya even after I leave this body. It's calculated public welfare. I'll get benefit. I'll get blessing so I can go on enjoying material life in the heavenly planets for my pious activities. So a devotee doesn't calculate what benefit I'll get, but actually all the devotional service that will be performed here in future, that's also in building a temple, that also accrues the the fact that others will also perform devotional service, so all their devotion, that also, the, who has made the facility for that, they're also that bhakti, sukriti, the pious, it's called sukriti because it's the same activity. It's a pious activity, but it's pious in a different way because it pious in a different way to that of the materialist because it pleases Krishna. So we can hardly imagine how much pleasing to Krishna Srila Prabhupada is by all the activities of bhakti that are going on at his instigation and will continue to go on. So we can remember that also when we're building the temple. We can think of the future, how so many people will come and bow down, worship Krishna, chant his names, have darshan, take prasadam, and in various ways perform devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada writes here that both the materialist who's building a skyscraper and a temple constructor, they collect wood, stone, iron, and other building materials. And Krishna, he inspires the intelligence by which out of stone such amazing constructions can be made. Big buildings and then the stone carvings. I don't know if those kind of stone carvings, if there's anyone can make nowadays, as just like at Mahabalipuram. Can anyone do like that nowadays? I don't know. That culture is gone. And then they'll make, there are stone pillars in some temples where you hit one and it has certain note, and then another one with another note, and it's all in order. It's all how they can make it so that the note is exactly in the musical scale. I doubt. There are so many arts which are lost, which were there in India previously, lost or being lost, that people can hardly understand or believe. Now that's another point, that the temple is also a place for encouraging the arts, how people may please Krishna. Musical art. People may come and perform music, dancing arts, cooking art. So we want to encourage people to perform their activities. That dancing, of course, we dance in a very simple way, but there is, of course, also training in dancing, which is a great training. So people, they go to much effort over many years to learn how to dance. We can invite them also to come and dance for Krishna. At Radha Raman temple in Vrindavan, that's standard part of their culture, that people come and they perform music concerts, devotional concerts and dancing for the pleasure of Radharaman. So the idea is that, yes, stone, wood, all these materials, not much wood here in this temple, for that converting that into a beautiful temple. And there are beautiful temples being built, that famously the Baps, or people just call them Swami Narayan, but they're one offshoot of the Swami Narayan Sampradaya. They've made beautiful constructions, first of all in Gandhinagar, state capital of Gujarat, and then more recently in Delhi. So it's very beautiful from the artistic and architectural point of view. And consistently Jain temples are amazingly built. There's so much sculpture. Lingayat temples, they're also very beautifully made and decorated. So it's not just building a temple, you've got to get the philosophy right also. These are temples of instructions. People have to come not just to see, but we want to induce them to hear and understand that, yes, it's visibly something very nice to see, but it's not going to be the most impressive temple. There are more impressive temples, visually. But come and hear why we've built this. Why in this modern age, when people are building skyscrapers, are we building this temple with a very high... It's also somewhat like a skyscraper, with the high spire, shikhar it's called in Hindi. What's it? I don't know in Tamil. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. This high shikhar, same thing. So that's high. So people can see from a distance. So they can think, oh, if they see that with the Vishnu chakra and flag on top, then they'll think of Vishnu. So they're benefited. More people get benefit like that. But as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur several times said, that even though he was overseeing the development of the Gaudiya Math organization, and he's said to have established 64 Gaudiya Maths, and most of them, at some point during his presence, they got some building built, temple built. Usually they'd go to a place and maybe rent a place or get some house or something. And then gradually they'd get some land and build a temple. But he said, I have not come to this world as a mason. Mason's business is to build buildings. Not as a mason or a contractor. Contractors also build buildings. Contractors, they oversee it, and the masons, they do the work. But he said, I've come as a peon of Rupa Raghunath, or on other occasions said, a peon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. In other words, we're not building for building's sake, but building for Krishna's sake. Not for any other peon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Varni. The point is that these are places of instruction. Bhaktivinoda Thakur founded the Namahatta organization. He gave this idea that Nityananda Prabhu was the original founder of the Namahatta. Hatta means informal market. So Nityananda there is selling in the market the holy name. It's allegorical, and because the idea is that the price to be had for taking the holy name is faith. Nityananda Prabhu is willing to give to everyone, but It's a market. You have to give something in return. So faith, you have to have faith in the holy name. Then one can receive it from Nityananda Prabhu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he saw himself as a sweeper. Keep the place clean. Keep all the upper sampradayas out. And another place he said, what is that? Dashtari loyebao ami, purna hobe kam. So he saw himself as a broker. He would take the commission. He will introduce people to Nityananda. Here, he's giving the holy name, but he's giving on behalf, and he takes commission. He also gets something from Nityananda Prabhu. The broker gets the commission from the merchant, not from the... He has to give all the money to the merchant and then take back the commission. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw himself like that. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that our march, they are Varni Hatha. Nama Hatha, chanting, and Varni. Varni means instruction. So one has to hear the instruction. People are coming, they should come and hear, not just see. Come and hear. Srila Prabhupada quoted in a lecture in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj used to say, he had so many temples all over India. And he used to say sometimes that if by selling these properties, temples, if I could turn one man to Krishna consciousness, then my mission will be successful. Selling the temple? How can you sell a temple? I don't know of anyone selling temples. You can sell a house, but you can't sell a temple. But he said, if I could sell the temple, if by doing so I could make someone Krishna conscious, I would do so. So it's typical of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He would make seemingly outrageous statements to make people think. For instance, he said that more than Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu glorified the Supreme Lord. How about that? Anyway, let's not get into that. So the point is that the temple itself, is the building and the idea of building a building, it's not the be-all and end-all. Materialists are building skyscrapers. But that's not the motive of the devotee is not that let's build a big building and then people will remember me. Just like there are so many temples, I was saying Birlas, so that wherever they have their temple, people call it the Birla Mandir. In Delhi, first time I went to Delhi in 1976, we stayed in the Birla Mandir. They have a Dharamshala. It's actually Lakshmi Narayan Mandir, but people call it Birla Mandir. So, the idea is that Krishna should be glorified, not anyone else. Of course, his devotees should be glorified. Sometimes you see people, they make the deity of themselves in the temple, along with the main deity. It's not necessarily a bad thing, because sometimes they show themselves in a position of at the feet, serving. But if they put their own deity there, something strange there. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also had his own deity in Vrindavan on the temple. But that's somewhat different because the acharyopasanam, the acharya, is to be worshipped. So anyway, continuing this quote, Srila Prabhupada is quoting his Guru Maharaj, he used to say that, So our purpose is not to construct big, big buildings. That is required for propaganda work, for giving shelter to people. But our main business is how to turn the face of the bewildered, conditioned souls toward Krishna. That is our method. That is our main purpose. So, in building temples, we're not interested in architectural achievements. We are, definitely. We want to make it as grand as possible, as attractive as possible. But that's not the central point. There are so many architects who build buildings. Some buildings are very famous because they're so outstanding. The twin towers of the World Trade Center, they became more famous after they fell down. Remember, airplane fell into them and they were going, and then they fell down. It can be expected, right? If you have a big, tall building and an airplane goes into it, then it'll collapse. Three of them. There are only two airplanes, but three buildings collapsed. Anyway, they were famous even before. And what other famous buildings are there? In New York, there's another one, with Empire State Building. Any other Houses of Parliament in London is famous. The Vatican in Rome is a series of buildings, especially the, what is that, St. Paul's Basilica, is it? That's the center, that's the most famous. And there are others trying to become famous. In different countries, they're building the tallest building in the world, and then someone builds another one taller, and it goes on like that. There are so many famous buildings, but they're all useless because there's no service to Krishna going on. Of course, we could convert them. We could convert the Houses of Parliament in London into a kirtan venue. No sign of that happening very soon. It's a good idea. They have in India also, don't they, that live TV of the Lok Sabha, is it? They have that going. I saw in England, I was there once, they had in someone's house, I saw it on the TV, live TV of the House of Commons. They all the MPs all look completely fried. They're sitting there with a completely miserable look on their face. I think better make it into kirtan. Their life is so miserable after campaigning and pushing themselves up in the political way, and eventually they became a minister. One of them becomes the prime minister, and they're all completely miserable. They should be miserable because they have to accept the karmic reactions of the people. 1/6, they're in for a lot of trouble. They're already in trouble. They're going to get in a lot more trouble. So we're not interested in architectural achievements just for the House of Parliament, of course, in London is famous for what it is, the power center of the British Empire. Whoops, there's no British Empire. Anyway, they're still hoping. But it's also architecturally somewhat attractive. But that's not our aim. The temple is built with stone. What's the material for the temple? Main material is stone, right? And that's going to be more than 90%. I do see a few bricks there and some cement. How did that get in there? The whole idea was not to have any cement. What else? So stone, clay, that's it, a few materials. And other temples can be built in Nigri, it's a suburb of Pune. I saw devotees have built a temple from wood. How about that? In Kerala, there are many wood temples. So you can use different materials. But the main material for building this temple has to be bhakti. Anyabilashita shunya bhakti. Not for my name and fame or anyone else's name and fame except Krishna's name and fame. We want to glorify Krishna. Already, because devotees are here in this town, there's a lot more glorification of Krishna going on than previously. There were a few people here and there worshipping Krishna. Who's that jewelry people they have in their home, they're worshipping and they do Janmashtami. AVI, yeah, we used to have our center just opposite them. And there are a few Madhva Brahmanas here, that Madhusudan. So they're worshipping Krishna, but it's increased. And it will increase more. Oh, and there's that whole Saurashtra community. They're also worshipping Krishna. But without any clear knowledge of why they're doing it, as a culture coming on from their forefathers. So already that is coming up more and more. There's nothing in Salem like this. There's nothing attractive in the whole town. There's nothing cultural, practically. Nothing of any interest. If you go to Chennai, well, there's Parthasarathi temple, and then in Mylapore, what's that temple? Kapalishra. That temple is there. Parthasarathi is also in Mylapore? No, Triplika. Yeah. And what else is there? Anything else of interest? There's the beach. Well, I guess there's not much there either. Anyway, this will be a place which people of Salem will identify. That this is a vaibhav, something notable in our city. It's something to be proud of. Vaibhav and Gaurav. Something glorious that when people they go, maybe they say, oh, where are you from? Oh, from Salem. Oh, Salem. Oh, yes. Temple. Just like if you say Chidambaram, people think of the temple, Nataraj. There are other things there also. There's university there. But people think of the temple. Most one of the most famous temples of Shiva in Tamil Nadu. That one and Rameshwaram. But I think Rameshwaram more outside people visit, is it? From all over India, especially North India. So anyway, this temple, this is to be built with devotion, with the idea, let Krishna be glorified, without any personal motive. It's possible to build temples with personal motive also, or that would be mixed. We're building a temple for Krishna, and then everyone will praise me also. Or I'll make a temple, and then I'll be solidly fixed in my position. No one can throw me out. Then I can live comfortably for the rest of my life. So there may be such motives, subtly mixed in our consciousness. So if we build a temple with devotion, then the whole atmosphere will be pervaded with that. Of course, not just a matter of building, but we have to maintain that day after day with spiritual activities. Srila Prabhupada said that a temple means activities. There have to be activities. Otherwise, sometimes you go to a temple, and it seems like it's almost dead. There's nothing going on. You go through a big, big temple, and eventually you get to the where the deities are. There's one pujari giving a little charanamrit. But a temple means it should be always alive with activities. Kirtan going on. Especially kirtan should go on. regular festivals. That's already going on here now. So that people, when they come, they feel uplifted. When you go to a temple, you want to feel spiritually uplifted. There should be a different atmosphere. Otherwise, it's disappointing. I think you've all had that experience. You go to a temple, and you want to go there for some spiritual upliftment, but you can't get that because people are harassing you. Give a donation, this, that. Of course, asking for donations is not inherently bad, but when you see that that's all the people are interested in, is extracting some money from you, then you become disappointed. And you can't get in the mood of opening yourself to Krishna's mercy, which you go to the temple for. So the temple is built with devotion, sustained with devotion. Of course, Krishna sustains everything, but I'm talking about sustaining the atmosphere. Or otherwise, if it's built with material desires and sustained with material desires, then what's the point? There are already so many buildings going on like that. Skyscraper buildings. They're going on to facilitate people's material activities and propensities. So we want that the stones will be alive. The atmosphere will be alive. Of course, stones by nature they're not alive, but that feeling that when you come, that automatically you come and you feel, oh, now, coming in the presence of Krishna, Krishna is lifting us up. That comes from the spirit of devotion to serve. And that's already going on. Devotees are giving their prana, artha, dhyā, vācha, these four ways of giving ourselves. Pranaya arthaya dhyavacha shreya acharanam sada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted this from Srimad Bhagavatam. How we should always act for the highest benefit by our life, by our money, by our intelligence, and by our words. We should act for the highest benefit. So devotees are already doing that. They're offering money. They're offering service, working for this. Devotees who are householders, they could be working and earning money, but instead, some of them, they're taking out the time to work for the building of the temple. Sometimes just recently you had all the devotees together putting in the bricks. So when you do that, you feel very happy. Is it not? When you serve Krishna, you feel very happy to do so. Otherwise, people who are working and just working to earn a living, they don't seem very happy in doing so. They're working, and you might think, well, they'll be inspired. I'm working, I'll get some money. But their whole life doesn't inspire them, so their work doesn't inspire them, and everything is a drag. Means everything is, how to say that in translate, everything is a drag. Everything, it feels like it's dragging. Just like with devotional service, we feel lifted up. And In material life, everything we feel like it's dragging us down. Could you translate that into ordinary English? Gopala Achar, you're an English teacher. Used to be. You know what that means, right? Something's a drag. It means, you feel like, everything you do, the whole life is a drag. But devotional service means we feel very happy. Atmanivedan tua pade kori. Hoino paramashuki. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. Having described in various songs his life prior to devotional service. Amar jibon shada pape rata. Nahi kapunyera leish. My whole life, there's no trace of any piety. It's simply full of sinful activities. But then he says, having surrendered at your lotus feet, he's praying to Krishna. I've become supremely happy. So the same thing, the people are building a building for material enjoyment, they're not happy. Devotees are building a temple for Krishna, they become very happy and they willingly like to give. Sometimes we think we'll go to some big rich man and they'll give so much money and we'll build a temple. Well, the rich men are rich because they keep their money. It's one reason they're rich. So we often find that people who don't have very much money, they give more money than the rich people. The rich man gives something which is 0.01% of his total wealth. And someone else gives the same amount, which is 50% of their wealth or more. They're not very rich, but they like to give because they're inspired. Let us serve Krishna. They very happily and willingly give. The rich man, you have to go and flatter them. Dhana. Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dhana durmadandhan. Shukdev Goswami says, why will a learned person flatter someone who is blinded with the pride of wealth? So we may do so. For building a temple, but not for our own sense gratification. They may give something, but often we find people, they don't have so much, but they willingly give. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of his disciples, they, for building a temple, I believe that was the Gauriya Math in Royapeta in Chennai, they got a donation from the Maharaj of Jaipur. It's written Jaipur. Maybe that's too... It's actually Jaipur, but maybe they write it J-E-Y-P-R. Because that's in Orissa. To differentiate it from the more famous Jaipur in Rajasthan. So he'd given 1 lakh of rupees. Which in those days was really a lot of money. Really, really... a lot. Difficult. They say at such that time the value is, and but what it is today, 1 rupee then was worth, I don't know, 2,000 rupees now or something. But you can't really say like that because the whole way of life and the whole economy was different. People didn't have money. Even when I first came to India, most people didn't have money in West Bengal, Calcutta. Most people didn't wear shoes. Or if they wore shoes, they wore shoes made from old rubber tires. That was a step up from no shoes. When I first came to Bombay, I saw the beggars at the stoplights are wearing Hawaii chapels. I thought, there we see, even the ordinary people who are working in Calcutta, they don't wear. And the beggars here in Bombay, they're wearing shoes. So people didn't have money. They were very poor economically. although everyone was eating. So anyway, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it's good you got 1 lakh of rupees, but instead of 1 lakh from one man, I would have preferred 1 rupee from 1 lakh of people. That everyone can donate. But of course, to build a temple in India now, if you took 1 rupee from everyone, you'd have to take the whole state of Tamil Nadu to build a temple here, wouldn't you? Practically. Is it? Something like that. What's the population of Tamil Nadu? 60 million? That's 6 crores. Yeah. Not, wouldn't be enough. Yeah. But anyway, you get the idea that let everyone contribute. There's the Hanuman is lifting rocks and the squirrel is pushing some sand. Everyone's appreciated. It's all needed. So I congratulate you all in your serving spirit. Go on. Building this temple. One thing that should be said in this regard is that this wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for Gokul Chandra Prabhu. He's not here, so I won't embarrass him in front of him. He'd run out if I said this, but actually it's a fact. He came here and started and built up. And of course, it's not a one-man effort, it's a group effort. You're all working hard, but just like a big, strong temple stands on a solid foundation, so he's a very solid foundation for not only the temple, but for the spiritual life of all of you. Most of you are present here. Are here because either because he directly brought you in, or someone who he had brought in to Krishna consciousness, he brought in, or because he's built up this facility here. So we should recognize that also. Leader makes a difference. There were so many devotees of Krishna in India. Now there are so many devotees all over the world, but it was because Srila Prabhupada went to the West. You can't separate that. The spread of Krishna consciousness all over the world, you can't separate that from the activities of Srila Prabhupada. It all sprang from him. So whatever's going on here in ISKCON in Salem, and it is considerable, that's all going on due to the dedication of all of you, but particularly we have to recognize the role of Gokul Chandra Prabhu. And you can see in different places, different people have different capacities. I was just reading yesterday that Srila Prabhupada wrote in one purport that some people can perform exceptional activities, and some other people, they can't even do anything which just requires a little common sense. I just imagine when Prabhupada was dictating that purport, that one of his disciples had done something stupid. So then Srila Prabhupada wrote, I'm paraphrasing that, so we can understand who is favored by the Supreme Lord, by their activities. So we see in there are many good devotees in different places. But in some places, someone goes there and nothing really happens for years or ever. But if the leader is capable and dedicated, then things can develop, and it requires spiritual strength and dedication, also some material expertise. You have to have more than the average common sense. If you requires to be able to work with different people, understand different things, make plans, execute them, and so on. So, Hare Krishna, now the book distribution marathon is just beginning. So, we're hearing every day. So how are 400 and more small books distributed yesterday? You read out? You don't know. 420 Mahabig. Oh, I heard small. Uh-huh. Yeah, but generally you distribute big books, right? So I was wondering if someone took a bunch of all together. You don't know. It's from... Oh, you're making sets also. I see, yeah. I see. In schools and colleges. Right, right. Because already so many people took our Bhagavad Gita. So now you're giving sets of small books. I see. That's how small books are going out. Okay, great. Do it. By the way, people think that December is book distribution month. But just a reminder, January is also book distribution month. February is also book distribution month. March is also book distribution month. It's not meant to be only in December. It seems to have entered the culture of ISKCON that December is only for books. But it's supposed to be that we distribute books throughout the year and then we do more in December. Not that we don't do anything for 11 months and we do something in December. So kindly bear that in mind. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? Yes, please. Do we have a mic for that? Or then you have to speak loudly. Ah. Why do Jains worship Mahavir as their deity? Why do so many Hindus worship Sai Baba as their deity? It's called... what is that in Bhagavad Gita? Yepi anya devata bhakta yajante shuddhayan vitaha tepi mam eva kaunteya yajantya vidhi purvakam. Krishna says about worship of demigods. And it can be extended to all kinds of beings. That those who worship different demigods, actually that worship is meant for me, Krishna says. The tendency to worship is meant to be offered to Krishna. But those who worship different demigods, or Mahavir, or Sai Baba, they do so, they're worshipping, but in a wrong way. And why is that? Well, why does anyone do anything in the material world? It's Krishna Bhuli Se Jivan Adi Bahimukh. Forgetting Krishna, we become inimical to Krishna. And therefore, we become attracted to everything or various things which are not Krishna conscious. Exactly why you're saying, why do they worship Mahavir? I don't exactly know. I'm just giving you a general answer because it's a very general question. Exactly, if you want to know the history of Jainism and this and that, how did it all come about? But it's not really worth getting into that anyway. It's because it's misdirected. You can say Jainism is very similar to Hinduism. Except, well, they don't accept the Vedas. That's a big difference. And they don't accept Vedic gods, except they say that Krishna's in hell. That's one thing in Jainism. So, it's a manifestation of Maya. That's what can we say. They take it to be a fact, but it's not. Why do people quote Sai Baba? I didn't hear the rest of your question, but the answer is the same anyway. It's just... Why does anyone do anything except surrender fully to Krishna? What's the answer? Tribhir gunamaya bhavaya Ebi sarvamidam jagat mohitam. They're all illusion. Nabi janati mamebhya paramavyayam. In this material world, Krishna says, everyone is illusioned by the three modes of material nature because they do not know Krishna's supremacy. So that's the answer. There's no real need to go into so many details. And it should be obvious to anyone who thinks a little bit about it that if you're going to worship, you should worship Krishna and not Sai Baba. But most people don't think. They don't think about it. Hare Krishna. So these books we're distributing, let people think. Let people have some spiritual knowledge. Why are they worshipping Sai Baba? They're not reading Prabhupada's books. Give them the books, then they'll get a chance. Otherwise, what chance do they have? Conclusion is, go on serving with the pure devotional mood. Serving, serving, serving. Giving, giving, giving. If you only have 1 rupee to give, give it. If you have more, give it. Serve, serve, serve. Give, give, give. Srila Prabhupada said, just give this one life to Krishna. You will not be the loser. Hare Krishna. Don't expect anything in return. Accept the mercy of Krishna. Hope, pray for the mercy of Krishna. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.